I think we should clarify the meaning of make them sit down. Make the men sit down. Sorry to disappoint the ladies, but he said make the men sit down. Now, you see, a lady could have sat down and would be considered a man. In other words, those who had come to that place in consciousness which is called male, meaning complete. Remember, he was going to make his mother male in the Gospel of Thomas. That means united into oneness, oneself, whole. And so make the men sit down. Those who are whole in consciousness was the meaning. But to sit down means direct their attention to the truth. Not wander off into the mind, into opinions. Make them sit down. Where? We have been supping at the table of Christ. Sit down at the table of Christ. Accept. And now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's not wander off into our opinions, but accepting the invisible spirit of your being everywhere, that's where you stand fast, which is sitting down. Accept it. All of your reasoning isn't going to change it. You've got to come to the point where you accept it. Sit down. Stop wandering. Stop testing all the new theories. Nothing human is going to work. You're being taught the principle that only spiritual understanding can solve what we have called our human problem. We're being lifted above even the solving of a human problem. The human problems are just the signposts along the way forcing us to spiritual understanding. Because that's the way we will know the Father aright. Sit down. Stop putting off the day of wondering when you're going to do this or that. Get to the point of who you are. You are spirit. You are spirit now. Your spirit is infinite. You are infinite spirit now. Sit on that. Make the men sit down. Those who have accepted that they are infinite spirit are ready to sit on that. Those who have accepted that are the men. They are whole, united. The male and female of their being is united in oneself. The positive and the negative are united in oneself. They're not divided. When you're not divided, in spirit you're called a man. Doesn't matter what you wear on the outside, it's where your consciousness is that is being described as the man. And now we're sitting down with the truth that I am the spirit of God. And God doesn't have a 5x2 spirit. God is infinite. I am the infinite spirit of God. That's sitting down. That's the way you meditate. That's how you sit down at the table of Christ to sup divine spirit. You come as the infinite spirit of God and you rest. That's why so many people have no fruitage to show for all their work, all their years of dedication. They will not sit down in their identity and sup at the table of Christ. Now, there was much grass in the place. And this grass was the symbol placed here to show us that among the 5,000 in the multitude, many had come to the place of no knowledge of self. The grass represents the fertility of their consciousness. It wasn't barren. There was grass there. That's why now we could show forth loaves and fishes, because there was much grass there. There was spiritual consciousness. And without it, there could be no spiritual consciousness made visible as loaves and fishes. They had been studying hard. They had accepted. They had been lifted into a new concept of their being. They had stepped out of materialism. They were ready to accept that God is alive, present, functioning, being their very self. Was much grass there. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Now Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, only after they had sat down, did he take the loaves. He had something to work with. Their sitting down and his taking the loaves are one and the same. They had a spiritual consciousness with which he could work. And that's signified by taking the loaves. You cannot get nothing. You can get only nothing from nothing. And if you want something, you must have something to begin with. You must begin with spiritual consciousness. And materially visible, he took the few loaves they had to show that in order to get something, you must begin with something. And if you have had nothing to show, it is because you haven't begun with something. That something being the acceptance of spirit as identity. When you begin with that, you've got the few loaves you need to begin with, and then you're ready to start multiplying. And he gave thanks. Now in Luke it says he blessed the bread. So giving thanks is the way John phrases it. Blessing it is the way Luke phrases it. But what did he do? Now we come to the place where you and I are being told what we must do. For this giving thanks is so vital that if you neglect it, overlook it, do not understand it, and do not practice it, you are unable to proceed spiritually. The giving thanks is the recognition of the source. As you are able to accept yourself to be the Spirit and recognize your spirit to be the Spirit of God, you are giving thanks. You are acknowledging the one infinite source of all. That is what he did when he gave thanks. Recognizing one infinite self as the self of all, one infinite substance. That substance was all that he had to work with to manifest as loaves and fishes. Giving thanks that God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent, God is the infinite invisible substance. And maybe one more thing. In the giving of thanks, in your gratitude, in your acceptance of one divine substance as the only present reality, you are surrendering your concept of you. When you give thanks to the one source as the one being, Your thanks cannot be complete if there's still a little you. The great meaning of giving thanks is the recognition of your everywhere self as the only self in the universe, not in a corporeal form, time or place. You are accepting the infinite substance called God, the infinite life called God, the infinite wisdom called God, the One. Giving thanks is the realization of One. Is at once the death of the false self and the birth of the true self. You see, the one self is going to make the demonstration, not a man. And in your life, as you walk this earth, the one self makes the demonstration, or you don't have a demonstration. All your lacks and your limitations can be a continuous day in and day out tragedy, or you can accept the one divine self as your being and the being of your brethren, a friend and a foe, until you have depopulated this world of mortality. And now you are surrendering the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that you have. The symbol of mortality is being surrendered. This is what I seem to have, but it isn't me. I'm not mortal being. Right here where there are 5 loaves and 2 fishes is something else. The infinite invisible is here. Right here where there's a mortal me is something else. That same infinite invisible. Just as a few loaves and fishes are not all that is there, neither is your mortality all that is here. This is a symbol of releasing your sense of mortal material self. To accept infinity present now is thank you for it. If we do not accept infinity present now, we are not getting the meaning of he thanked the Father. And when you follow and accept infinity present now as your spirit, it won't make any difference if it's loaves and fishes or employment or the health of your family. Whatever it is, it's the sacrifice of the material belief to the acceptance of the divine self without opposite, as the self of all. And then you're in that position where good can be multiplied, and that which had seemed to be bad can be dissolved. That's the focal point of initiation. Thank you, Father, I accept your present infinite self as myself and the self of all. Nothing more to do but dwell there. Never to deny my spirit to be your spirit, my power to be your power. For I here in this form am but a transparency for the infinite spirit that I am. And so he's revealing to us the infinite storehouse of the kingdom we were taught to seek. Seek ye first the kingdom. Accept infinity of spirit as all there is. And then the righteousness of infinity will appear unto you as the things you had thought you wanted in the material world, as the added things. That won't be the end when these things appear. There will be confirmation of the truth that you are the Spirit of God, so that you may continue to abide in this knowledge until you know eternal life is the life you are living now, until you know that the kingdom of heaven is where you are now, until that consciousness in you lifts the consciousness of your neighbor, until the circle of Christhood widens, until all become aware to greater and lesser degrees of the infinite availability of God, the ever-presence of perfection, though invisible to human eyes, the ever-presence of supply, though invisible to human sense perception. When you are fed spiritual truth, when you accept Spirit as the bread of your life, there's no missing bread in the outer world. There's nothing missing in the outer world if the bread of life is accepted as your substance. But when you have not made that acceptance, then that represents the separation from substance which appears in the world as the separation from the things of the world, as the lacks and limitations. As long as divine bread, Spirit, is your name, and you're living there consciously, depriving no one of that spiritual recognition which you afford yourself, the Spirit externalizes as the bread of your life made visible, the wine and the water. Thank you, Father, is a key point of initiation in the multiplication of loaves and fishes. Then he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, right before our human eyes, something unknown to man has happened. When they were filled. Filled with what? The Spirit. That's what filled them. Filled with the Spirit. And then human sense translate that into food. Absence of hunger. What happens is that with human sense we find things that are wrong and right. With spiritual awareness, we take the images that are wrong, we form new images, we change bad images to good images. The bad concept becomes a good concept. Always we interpret with our senses into our needs. And now they are filled. So it is that as we are filled with the Spirit, there is a process that takes place that we then interpret that Spirit into employment, into the rent, into health. And now we have converted Spirit into different images, all being very friendly images. And the reason is we now have substance to work with. Before, we only had sense images without substance. And because they had no substance, they became known as lacks and limitations. When we have substance, Spirit, spiritual identity, that substance becomes form which satisfies. All of these are landmarks along the road to life that is not dependent on matter at all. For there is such a life where matter is no longer needed. We need food now because food is matter, and we live in our concept called a material body. Having a material sense of body, we need material food for it. As you develop your conscious awareness of a spiritual body, you probably have noticed how your appetite, the things you eat, the food you choose, changes. Why? Because your new growing awareness of a spiritual body requires a different kind of a diet. And so you begin to think differently without knowing why. You're also looking here at a preview of the time when, in your spiritual body, you will need no food whatsoever. You're looking at the announcement to the world that there will be a time when in your spiritual body, food will not be necessary because your own being is your own food. You can be sure that the Christ doesn't sit down to a material plate of food. And you can tell by your changing habits in eating the quantities you need, the types of food, how your spiritual progress is coming. There will be a time, and it's quite obvious that there must be such a time, when you will not need food. Your food will be spirit itself, which contains its own needs fulfilled. Spirit being self-contained, you can, when you're in the spiritual consciousness, receive the food you need, the income you need, the clothes you need, the shelter you need, because these things are all invisible in spirit and are translated by our sense mind into these things. When you have the consciousness of supply, you'll always have the outward appearance of supply. When you have the consciousness of health, you'll have the outward appearance of health. And ultimately, when you have the consciousness of a soul body, you will no longer require these outer appearances because your soul body is self-inclusive. It walks through the fire. It requires no food, no wine, and no water because I am the water. I am the wine. I am the bread. Momentarily, these things seem to be divided in space and time, and then they appear and come together. But in your spiritual self, they are not divided in space and time. They are all in one, in a complete, permanent self-fulfillment. This is all a preview of your life in heaven on earth, in a spiritual awareness. You might call it an intermediate stage. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, you know they had 12 baskets full, which is more than they started out with. And nobody did anything. Spiritual consciousness is the power. But there had to be a Christ Jesus there, aware that where everyone appears to be, I am. There had to be an invisible spiritual consciousness there, lifting up the others. And we ought to practice this first on a small scale with ourselves, in your family, in your business, wherever you are, consciously, to know that your invisible self, present there, in that house, in that room, in that theater, on that freeway, in that city, in this world, is the one invisible spirit. That I am the spirit of the Father, my spirit and the Father's spirit are one spirit. and abide there, and the spirit that you have acknowledged will now acknowledge itself through you. And you become a transparency for the fullness that is in the spirit. And the forms it takes will be the expression of that fullness to the level of whatever needs seem to be present. Because everything is now present here in your spirit. A million tomorrows and all the things that you will have in those million tomorrows are present here now in your spirit. And only if you're aware of the fullness of your spirit now can this nowness distribute itself into the tomorrows. Gather up the fragments. There wasn't just enough there for that moment. There was enough there forever. Infinity was being brought to the attention of the world, for they could have had 5 million extra baskets if more were needed. That's why there's more when they're finished than when they started. To show that infinity is present. And the way you experience infinity is to release it from within yourself. When he said thank you, when he gave thanks, he was releasing infinity. When he surrendered the personal sense of self, he was giving of himself in order to receive. As you learn to give of your human self by accepting your spiritual self, by accepting this presence of your infinite self, you may start out with a few loaves and fishes, but when you're all through with this giving of yourself, somehow you have 12 baskets full. Because in the unselfing, you have replaced a human sense of me with a divine infinite being. You receive infinity when you give up me. 12 baskets full. There's a point there that's very mammoth, and if there's something in you that sees it, you can see that the you that is already infinite. And the only reason you don't experience that you, which is infinite, is because something in you makes you live in the you that is finite. And so you really hurt your own self. Until you deny this false finite self, the 12 baskets full are a little short in some departments, because you're not letting the fullness of infinity be yours. That word trust, that word confidence, the acceptance, not with reservations, not with caution, not testing it out to find out if it's really true, not sitting there with a human mind and saying some of this is good but some of this isn't. No, you are the spirit. You're not a person seeking things, or if you are, you're still stuck with a few loaves and fishes. Later, the same one is going to show us that he's not in a form at all. That you can take the body and crucify it and won't harm him in the slightest. Well, isn't that true right now? Is it only true at the time of crucifixion? Isn't it true throughout the 3-year ministry that there's no one in that form? It doesn't suddenly happen at the end of the Bible. It's always true. There's no one in that form. All there is there is spirit misperceived by man. What about you? Who's in the form? How can you be spirit and be in a form? When you realize you are the spirit, and there's no one in that form, and that your spirit doesn't stop where the walls begin over here, that you are everywhere now, you're saying, thanks, Father. You're accepting, I am the Spirit of God everywhere now. You won't know famine. You won't know fear. You won't know violence. You won't be concerned about material problems in the world. And if you are, you're denying identity. You're rejecting who you are. You're not saying thanks for the priceless gift of being the self that God is. That's thanks. The self that God is, I am. And of course I have 12 baskets left over. Plus 12 times 12 times 12 times 12 unto infinity. This is just the visible 12 that you're looking at. Infinite baskets of everything needed. Because the Father and I are one eternal infinite spirit. God individualizes as your spirit. And so the Master demonstrates this, and the world looks at him and says, what a marvelous thing. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And so, the great mistake. This is a prophet that should come into the world. And the Spirit is saying to mankind, come out of the world. The Spirit is saying, come out of the world into the kingdom of heaven on earth. There's no world there. You're looking through little 5 cents mirrors. That which isn't there. Don't try to bring God into the world or God into your experience as a human being. Don't make this man Jesus a king for this so-called miracle. He hasn't demonstrated a miracle. He has demonstrated that spirit is present and that the power of spirit is present and that it contains everything needed to those who are in the consciousness of themselves to be that spirit. And so they say he's a king. They want to make him a king in this world. And that's the same as crucifying him. Because he came into this world not to be a king, but as the spirit of our own being, revealing itself to us. That's why it says when he learned that they perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed. Again unto a mountain himself alone. They missed the point, but nevertheless, the point was established for those who would follow. It was a reference point. That whoever says thanks for the gift of spirit that I am and means it by living it is widening the circle of Christhood, which will someday transform this world into what it is. By dissolving the veil of the mist of the senses. And lo and behold, the perfection of spirit made visible is the new world, the new heaven on earth. Of course the old world dies. Is that bad? When heaven is revealed, when famine disappears, when pestilence disappears, when every evil we know disappears because it isn't here. It appears to be here to those who have not said thank you for the priceless gift of your spirit as my spirit. The only real hunger is spiritual hunger. The only real lack is spiritual lack. If we are not in the spirit, we hunger and we lack. And we are limited because we are not in that position of consciousness which releases the power of spirit. Each of us becomes a place where loaves and fishes are multiplied, where good is multiplied, to the degree that we have accepted the gift of spiritual identity. All over this world today is a false picture painted by the carnal mind. It's a very important picture. Its importance is that you can either accept it or move through it knowing that it isn't there, your spirit is. And this is how you develop spiritual consciousness. Now, when you look out on a problem, that problem exists for several reasons. First, without knowing it, you have brought a form into this world which isn't here. You have brought a form into this world with five senses which you don't have. You have projected through those five senses your concept of form. Somebody else who has done the same looks at your five-sense concept of form and says, there she is, there he is. They're looking at something that isn't there, which you have projected with five senses you do not have, and they, with their five senses they do not have, are accepting it. And the pyramid of errors begins. We look out with five senses at everything we do not have. Now, this would seem to be ridiculous until you begin to prove that it isn't ridiculous at all. Up to now, in your handling of problems that come to your attention, whether they're your personal ones or problems of friends, you've struggled very valiantly to try to impersonalize that individual. You've said, Johnny isn't there, spirit is there. The gap has been that somewhere deep in you, you really thought Johnny was there. Why not? You've seen Johnny since he was a little tyke. He's grown up now. But only the Spirit of God is there. Now, the individual you look at has placed himself there through his five senses. And now, there's a problem. Where is that problem? It's not in the self he has placed there. It's in the five senses that have placed that self there. And so this problem may be very severe, but the individual is misperceiving his own spiritual identity. The problem isn't really there. It's a mental projection. And it's in the five senses. That's where the problem is. And you'll find that instead of trying to impersonalize this individual so that you can begin to go further in your work, if you can catch the understanding that whatever problem confronts you in that person is not there but is in the five senses of that person, you'll find it's much easier to impersonalize him. For instance, let's say it's a broken back or a sore collarbone or whatever. Where is God? Right there. Where's God's power? Right there. Then how did this thing happen? That's the point, it didn't. Where is it? It's in the five senses of the individual who is projecting that idea called broken this or sore that. That's all you're looking at. Somebody's five-sense concept made visible. That's where the problem is, in his five senses. Now, what are you going to do about it? Know that it's in his five senses. That's the only place the problem can be, because God is there. Where are his five senses? They don't exist. The problem in them exists only in them, and they do not exist. God is there. The human eye isn't God. The human ear isn't God. The human body isn't God. Where is the problem in the five senses that conceived it and projected it? To your amazement, as you're able to dwell with that a while and become confident that this is so, you'll find confirmation following. There was a gentleman came the other day. It was a very interesting case. I think it's worthy of repetition for the purpose of demonstrating the point. Some kind of a disease in the ear had caused a problem. There was 6 solid years in which only sound was in that man's ear. It was terrific. There was no comfort for him. 6 years of sound. Couldn't get the sound out of his ears. And as he explained the case, the very spirit of me was telling me the problem and the reason for it. And I didn't know a thing about it a minute before it was spoken. Never heard of a case like it, or knew anything about it, and still don't. And it was beautiful to watch the way Spirit just said to the man, "Oh, well, the reason you've had this problem for 6 years is because Spirit has made a demand upon you, and you simply haven't answered it." Well, he says, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" "Well, 6 years ago, Spirit made a demand on you, and when you didn't answer, it became a problem in the ear. Exaggerated. Well, what was the demand? The demand was that you forget listening through that ear alone and learn how to listen with the inner ear. That was the demand. And you haven't done it for 6 years. And once you start to try to do it, you will find that Spirit will remove your problem by revealing itself to you. And then I know something else was speaking, because I couldn't say to the man, "Let's get rid of the sound right now." I was quite amused to hear that, in fact. And so we went inside, and that was that. And he called later and said, "Something happened on Tuesday at your house. Because when I left there, all of a sudden I noticed there was no sound in my ears after 6 years." And he said, "And then something spoke to me. And I looked around and there was nobody there. And it said, 'Acknowledge me in all thy ways.'" He said, is that right? Is that what I'm supposed to do? I said, "Well, you heard it." And he said, "I had vertigo, you know, because of this terrible sound that I've carried with me for 6 years. And that's gone." Well, the minute you realize that your problem is there because of some demand that you have not fulfilled or answered, you begin to look at that problem with new respect. Why have you got this problem? What didn't you do that you were asked to do by the Spirit? And there's a clue to your problem. Is it too late? Why, of course not. Anytime you will answer the demand of the Spirit, you will find something comes within to remove the problem by revealing that where Spirit is accepted, the problem isn't there. Where those who had no food found the Spirit within, they discovered they were fed and they didn't do anything about it. Where you discover the Spirit of your own being, well, you're actually going to diminish the carnal mind in you, which has pronounced the presence of problems. And I found it very helpful to see that the bad hearing of that individual or the sound was not a reality at all. Where did it exist? Well, in his sense of hearing. That's the only place it existed. But what about his hearing? Well, he has no hearing. That's a false sense. God does all the hearing, and his false sense of hearing is the only place the problem was. When the inner soul is opened, the hearing of God appears, then interpreted by us as normal hearing. Now, I can't guarantee that that condition won't come back. I know this, that Jesus didn't free the Hebrew nation. Jesus didn't go around the world raising all the dead. Jesus didn't get rid of sickness on the earth. Jesus did not even prevent the beheading of John the Baptist, one of his closest friends. Why? Because there is no point in just healing people. That isn't the point of the Christ ministry. You don't want to take someone from a bad sense of materialism and restore them to a good sense of materialism. That isn't what you really want. We don't want a false sense of comfort in matter. The Christ is lifting us to the place where we can accept the non-presence of matter, the non-reality of matter, the complete rejection of the belief that matter is here. To restore John the Baptist wouldn't have accomplished that. To heal all the dead and bring them back to material life wouldn't accomplish that. You see, we're being lifted beyond the material consciousness of the world to the spiritual consciousness, which lives in spirit as life, as love, as truth, as being. That's why Jesus didn't free the Jews. He wasn't here on such a mission. His mission is Christ realized to be a way shower to those who are to realize their own Christhood. Not their material comfort, but their Christhood. Material comfort can be a detriment, a blockade. We will become stagnant in matter. Now, without matter visible, 5,000 were fed. The message is clear. Spiritual understanding was the solution. Spiritual understanding released the presence of spirit to reveal itself as fulfillment. Whatever the need had been, spiritual understanding would have released the spirit to show forth fulfillment of that need. Whatever your need, spiritual understanding will release in you the fulfillment of that need. The need is not, like Philip thought, to get money to buy this, not like Andrew thought, we have a few loaves and fishes. The need is to be fed spiritually. The need is not to improve your physical comfort. That's your detour. The need is to be fed spiritually, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. And the only one who hears that word is you, the invisible Son. So we've come a long way through this sixth chapter now of the Gospel of John to see that spiritual understanding can only come to one who is spirit. A mortal doesn't have spiritual understanding. And you must take that and sit down with it and thank the Father and abide in your spiritual identity. Then I accept the everywhereness of it and the fact that its power is always functioning. Stand by the window and look out. Stand on a hilltop and look down. Look up at the moon and know it isn't there, your spirit is. Look at the heavenly bodies and know they are not there, your spirit is. And that's the fallacy of astrology. The heavenly bodies are not there, your spirit is there. That is all that is anywhere. God is one infinite spirit, God is all. If you do not in any way deny that, but learn to live with it, it will show forth. Your life will take on its divine qualities made visible. Your spirit everywhere is all that is there, and the forms are walking through it, the rivers are flowing through it, the mountains are rising through it, the stars are going in their orbits through your everywhere spirit. You must identify with it. The everywhere there is the here of you now. And when you do, you're ready for the miracle of multiplication. We have three more classes this January before a little vacation. We're going to do, probably, I don't want to be held to it, probably next time we'll do His Rain Falls, which is chapter 11. But I know we have to also go back and do the statements made by the Christ in chapter 5 after the healing that took place there. Those statements are going to tie up with what we've just learned today. So we'll do one or the other next week, or both. And we're going to do Christ Walks the Earth, which is the last chapter, either in the next to the last class or the last. And then we'll have, I hope, a good complete summary of everything we've learned since we began the Gospel of John and about Beyond Words and Thoughts, to prepare us for that month in which we learn to sit down in our everywhere spirit, accepting the all power of our own being everywhere. Until we can glimpse the fruitage in visible manifestation. Whatever it is, we have three more classes in January, and I can assure you they are going to fulfill a need that is pressing through us all. I think we all know what we're to do, and I think we'll end on that note with an expression of divine love as the one force that is flowing through us. Thank you very much.